Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. You are now locked into WKAR's current sports, coming to you live inside of Studio S on the campus of Michigan State University. Right here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. We've got a great show coming at you. Happy Friday, or as I like to say, happy Fry-yay. Hard to believe that the end of the week is here, and we planned on ushering you into the weekend with a bang here, because there's a lot of topics I want to get to. I am particularly excited about our guest for today's current sports. She is a friend of mine in the industry. No, she is not a sports reporter. She is in the entertainment and media industry, and she's absolutely tearing it up. We're going to take a break from sports talk during segment B to chat with Meg Scoop, Megan Thomas, aka Meg Scoop, who is an actress and television host who is, you know, recognized for many different things. She's appeared in numerous shows, but many folks out there will recognize her from the insanely popular YouTube entertainment news channel, All Def Digital. So I'm looking forward to having Meg Scoop on the show around 1:30. You don't want to miss that. But until then, we will talk about a big transfer in the world of Michigan college football. A lot of people kind of saw this writing on the wall, though, right? Wilton Spate deciding to take his talents elsewhere. He struggled after being named the starting quarterback for Jim Harbaugh's squad at the beginning of last year. We'll talk about the QB situation now for the Maize and Blue. Also, the Seattle Seahawks reportedly passed on Colin Kaepernick because they weren't sure whether or not he was going to kneel this upcoming season. I'll address that topic. And on the back end of the show, we will have Reflection Friday for you, where we bring up a few topics and stories that we didn't get a chance to cover, and also reflect on the guests that we've had throughout this week. And we will also provide you an update on what has gone down at today's Michigan State Board of Trustees meeting. A few takeaways there. I understand that our very own Scott Pohl is there and has been covering the happenings of the Board of Trustees meeting. And, well, actually, I'm seeing here, this is the latest tweet from Scott Pohl as of 38 minutes ago. Public comment now at an hour. Meeting has adjourned. Next meeting in June. So there you have that. But we'll have a few takeaways from that meeting, a few important takeaways from that meeting in just a moment. And we will do all of this while, of course, inviting you to be a part of the hour. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can watch the live stream there or comment below the video, and you can even tweet us. Two ways to do so: tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. You know what's next, though. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. and we start with that news concerning Wilton Spates, now former quarterback for the University of Michigan college football team. Wilton Spates will not be returning to U of M, announcing yesterday his intentions to join UCLA as a grad transfer. Spates started for the Wolverines during each of the last two seasons, but missed much of 2017 after suffering three fractured vertebrae in the Big Ten opener against Purdue back in late September. After the season, he announced his intentions to transfer out of the program after earning his degree, hoping to immediately be ruled eligible for another team in 2018. In the time since Spates' exit from Ann Arbor, Michigan, Coach Jim Harbaugh has told both the quarterback and others that the door is open for a return to the team. But yesterday, Spates put that potential to bed with that announcement on Instagram, indicating his, quote, next chapter and final year of eligibility. Spates was 257 of 437 for 3,192 yards, completed 58.8% of his passes, and had 22 touchdowns, 10 INTs during his Michigan career. After spending time talking to Chip Kelly and quarterback's coach Dana Bible over the last 2 weeks, he has decided that UCLA, where the quarterback job is very much up for grabs, is the best place to wrap up his college career. Engineer Ian Hawley, I'm also, you know, you talk about this move for Wilton Spates, you know, moving on as quarterback, now former quarterback of the Wolverines. I'm a bit salty today as it pertains to my Dallas Cowboys. You probably saw this news. It's kind of a catch-22 for me, though. I don't know if you saw, but Dez Bryant would not be with my Cowboys next season. Dez did not have a great year last year. They saw him pulling out of the AT&T Stadium facility, I think it was, or the practice facility, wherever that is. He was driving in his Bentley. Reporters called him. He had a smile on his face. So, and he thanked, you know, the Cowboys fans out there. I always have love for Dallas, something of that nature on Instagram. But yeah, some big moves being made. Also in the NBA, there's a lot of, you know, I talked about Black Thursday yesterday. So a lot of moves being made in the world of sports right now, right?
Yeah, it might be a good thing for the Cowboys to finally get the Dez Bryant bear off their back and be able to get some real team players on that roster at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, and it's tough with the prima donna wide receiver big names that exists in today's NFL, right? But yeah, Dez didn't have a great year, so it's like, it's whatever with me. But
you think he'll make the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, his numbers, I mean, are fantastic. And he's still got some football left to play. Those numbers are just going to keep on rising. I mean, he was a great player with the Cowboys, just not a great season, though. All right. Speaking of more moves pertaining to the University of Michigan athletic program, this time it concerns the Michigan men's basketball program. Sophomore wing E.B. Watson will be suiting up somewhere next season, but it won't be at U of M. Watson announced his intentions to transfer John Beilein's program and leave the program on Twitter Thursday night. The news comes one day after the team's end-of-season awards banquet, where Michigan coach John Beilein said, quote, there could be, end quote, more roster attrition in addition to junior center Mo Wagner and redshirt sophomore wing Charles Matthews, who are weighing all their options and could leave early for the NBA. And speaking of Matthews and Wagner, again, they're still undecided right now, even if Michigan junior Mo Wagner has made up his mind regarding his plans for next season. It was unlikely that he was going to reveal them Wednesday night after the Wolverines postseason banquet. Wagner has until April 22nd to enter his name into the NBA draft. This, I should say, the draft combine is scheduled for May 16th to the 20th. May 30th is the NCAA's deadline to withdraw, which any player could do, providing he doesn't hire an agent. Now, ESPN.com projects Wagner as the number 49 overall pick to the Utah Jazz. NBADraft.net also tabs him as a second rounder at number 42 to, get this, the Detroit Pistons. Interesting stuff. All right, redshirt sophomore Charles Matthews is also undecided about his future. Matthews was a top 40 recruit coming out of high school, played a year at Kentucky, sat out last year, and show flashes of brilliance for Michigan this season. However, he is not among ESPN's top 100 draft prospects, and various prognosticators do not list him in their mock drafts.
Now, Matthews was not made available to the media on Wednesday. All right, Michigan State baseball will wrap up its lengthy homestand and continue its non-conference week against teams from Indiana when the Spartans welcome the Crusaders from Valparaiso to McLane Baseball Stadium at Cobbs Field for a three-game non-conference series. Today to Saturday, the Spartans-Crusaders clash was slated for a three-day series, but impending inclement weather has adjusted the schedule to a doubleheader today, which already is underway at 12:05 p.m. Wondering, Ian, if you can just scour the web, give me a score update on that. We'll update you all throughout this hour when it comes to that first game of that doubleheader for the MSU baseball team against Valpo. And, yeah, crazy weather, right? Yesterday, beautiful. You know, knocking on the door of like 68 degrees. We are supposed to have like something like an ice storm sometime starting tonight. Oh, Michigan, how we love you. All right, due to a forecast of consistent rain in State College on Sunday, the Michigan State softball team and the Penn State softball team have agreed to change the schedule to accommodate all three games of the MSU-PSU series. The teams will play as regularly scheduled, 6 p.m. tonight. On Saturday, instead of a single game at 3 p.m., the teams will play a doubleheader that begins an hour earlier at 2 p.m. All right, saying it had lost confidence in Michigan State University, the MasterCard Foundation is ending a $45 million commitment to fund the education of African students here at MSU, as well as a second $13 million program. This was said in a press release from the foundation. Quote, the MasterCard Foundation is dedicated to providing a safe environment for young people who participate in our programs. Due to extensive media reporting about issues involving Michigan State University, the foundation has lost confidence in our partnership with the university. The MasterCard Foundation Scholars Program began back in 2012 and was scheduled to run for 9 years, funding the education of 100 undergraduates and 85 grad students from sub-Sahara Africa. MasterCard also is ending its funding for the Agriculture Youth Opportunity Lab, a 5-year, $13 million collaboration with MSU, helping 15,000 young people access agricultural employment opportunities in Tanzania and Nigeria. That program started in 2017. So that's a big fallout due to the negative storylines that we are seeing come out of the Michigan State University wheelhouse. Very unfortunate there. All right, nothing was working from the start for the Detroit Tigers right-handed pitcher Michael Fulmer on Thursday. He gave up a leadoff homer to Francisco Lindor and went on to get pounded for a career-high 9 runs, 6 earned, on 8 hits over 3-plus innings. The Tigers lost 9-3 on Thursday night at Progressive Field as the Cleveland Indians, the Tribe, completed a 4-game series sweep of the Tigers. I will be saying that a lot throughout this Tiger season. Just saying, the Tigers have lost 11 straight games against the Indians dating back to last season. The Tigers are back in Detroit tonight for a matchup against the New York Yankees. First pitch set for 7:10 p.m. And last but not least, after arranging for Colin Kaepernick to work out for the Seattle Seahawks this week, team officials postponed the trip when the quarterback declined to say whether or not he will stop kneeling during the national anthem next season. Seattle still is considering bringing Cap for a tryout. No decision is final, a source said. The Seahawks on Friday signed former Redskins quarterback Stephen Morris. The Seahawks had contacted Cap about 2 weeks ago to arrange a visit to the team's headquarters, but after tentative arrangements were made and travel was planned, the trip was unexpectedly scuttled over Seahawks' last-minute stipulation regarding Cap's anthem stance. That's what a source tells ESPN. The source said the Seahawks wanted to know that Cap wouldn't kneel this season, and he was unwilling to give that assurance to them. I have more thoughts on that story in a matter of minutes, but that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep this train moving.
Michigan trails by 4. They have no timeouts. O'Korn in the shotgun, looking to throw. Three-man rush. O'Korn throws down the middle of the field. Home run ball. It's tipped. And the ball is incomplete. No time left on the clock. Michigan State comes into Ann Arbor and upsets number 7, Michigan, 14-10.
Tough one to lose. We're gonna have to set our jaws here now. We have to bow our necks and didn't do enough good things to win the ball game. Just that simple. We're a good team and got a lot of football left. So get up here, bow your necks, come back on Monday. Michigan on 3. 1, 2, 3, Michigan.
Friday, beautiful people. Welcome again to WKAR's Current Sports. If you are just now joining us, oh boy, Michigan State fans, you got to love that bite, right? I don't know if you have all seen the All or Nothing Michigan College Football Series, which you can view on Amazon Prime, but that is a direct snippet from episode 4 of that series. And you're probably wondering, who is that boo-hooing at the end of that Michigan football loss to the Spartans in A Squared on my birthday, I might add, October 7th, 2017. I guess that was my birthday present last year. On my birthday, watching Michigan State win in that cold and rainy night at the Big House. Earlier on in the day, it was absolutely beautiful, and then the rain started to come down. I really felt bad for Isaac Constance and Karina Garcia, who shot that game for us as I was up in the cozy press box. But that was actually Rashawn Gary, defensive lineman for the Wolverines. In the series, you know, here's a spoiler alert. If you haven't seen the series, Rashawn Gary boo-hoos. I mean, you would have thought Rashawn Gary got a call, you know, saying that something happened to one of his family members, man. I mean, it was like, you know, it was like a funeral. Rashawn Gary just completely broke down in tears. There's two other teammates next to him on the bench, you know, when the clock hits zero, who are also crying and boo-hooing. But Rashawn Gary was the one mic'd up, and he is just beside himself. And then you see the locker room. It's like the locker room is like a funeral. Jim Harbaugh, bow your necks, gentlemen. We got to move on. But it's a great series. I'm going to say it's very well done. It is very well done. Again, it reminds me of like HBO's Hard Knocks. It's unfiltered. Check it out. And Michigan State fans, if you want to feel good in light of everything that we're seeing happen at this university right now, all of the negative storylines, if you want just something to feel good about, watch Michigan's All or Nothing. Just don't watch episode 1, 2, 3. They're all great episodes. But check out episode 4 if you want to see the unfiltered footage of what Amazon shot after the Michigan State win over the Michigan Wolverines. As I noted, we got a lot to talk about on today's Current Sports. We invite you to be a part of the fun. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Ian Hawley, before I move on, how you feeling, man? You feeling good behind the glass? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you as well. I'm feeling good. There's a journalism bar crawl scheduled for today. So,
oh, be safe.
Yeah,
that's
I will.
All I'm saying.
I will. I'll give you a call if I need a ride home.
Please do. Or Uber everywhere, all right? Or Lyft everywhere, all right? That's what I'm saying. That's what I have to. There's no excuse these days because you have Uber right on your phone, right? Well, that's good to hear that you're feeling good, man. I slept wrong, so I kind of, if my head is kind of, those watching via the live stream, if I keep doing this, like I got a twitch, I'm trying to like massage my neck because I slept totally wrong last night, so I got a kink in my neck. But I'll be all right. The show must go on, right?
Got to get one of those Tempur-Pedic pillows.
Yeah. Well, you know what? What's so crazy? I have one of those like memory foam pillows, but it's not comfortable for me.
No?
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's weird. And I tried it last night. It wouldn't work. Nothing worked. Like, I don't know what was wrong last night. I didn't get much sleep, though. But again, the show must go on. Thank goodness for coffee. That's like my Gatorade. That's my pregame warm-up drink during the show each and every weekday at 1 o'clock. I do want to get to a few takeaways from today's Board of Trustees meeting. Scott Pohl was there, and you know, WKAR news reporter. And if you want to follow Scott and read all of his tweets, I'm not going to sit here and read all of his Twitter feed, but just follow him on Twitter at Scott Pohl, WKAR, and he has been live tweeting throughout the Board of Trustees meeting, which ended about an hour ago. Public comment. There were a few students who stood up and called for change. As you know, the story coming out of this area concerns this lawsuit in which a young woman, a Michigan State student, alleges that in 2015, she was raped by three Michigan State men's basketball players. She is suing the university because she is claiming that the Michigan State University Counseling Center basically discouraged her from coming forth and telling her story. Michigan State issued a statement, which I read word for word yesterday. And I followed that statement up by reading an article which detailed how, with that detailed statement, it was a very detailed statement. It kind of combed through what was investigated at the time, what Michigan State alleges they did to make sure they crossed their T's and dotted their I's to make sure that there was no negligence on their part. It was very detailed. Maybe too detailed, though. Because as I noted and as I followed up with reading that statement, there's an article from the Free Press that detailed how Michigan State may have violated federal privacy laws. And to my knowledge, based on what I saw on social media today from those covering the Board of Trustees meeting, John Engler regrets putting that much detail into this week's statement in response to the Michigan State University lawsuit. Students aren't happy. There are a lot of students who are not happy. I'm seeing here from Scott Pohl's Twitter page, Bridget Kennedy, who was an MSU student, calls for change to board bylaws, allowing for a new board to include faculty and students. I don't think that would be a bad idea. The board would help in presidential search, because as we know, John Engler is the interim president right now while that search continues to go underway. Continuing Scott's tweet here, quote, would ensure that the right people to fix MSU's problems would be at the table. I don't think that's a bad idea. Hats off to Bridget Kennedy. I like that idea a lot. MSU sophomore Kat Ebert, a survivor, also spoke. MSU has no women's resource center, proposes gender empowerment and resource center, online portal to reach crisis counselors. Sam Kwan says he has reached out to every board member at least twice without a response. Quote, you can't outrun the past and just move forward. Kudos to those students who showed up to Michigan State's Board of Trustees meeting today, because as I have noted numerous times, this is a critical moment in this university's history. And the students here at MSU, your voice holds more weight than, in my opinion, anybody's. You have the ability to spark change. If you want to see change here at your university, let your voice be heard. Get in the face of the Board of Trustees and say, this is what needs to happen. This is what has failed. This is what needs to happen. And here is why we need to be involved. Absolutely love that. I guess I can get some props to those who are currently still on the Board of Trustees for allowing a public forum for students to come forth and vent and voice their concerns. So, we'll have more on the Board of Trustees meeting on Monday's Current Sports. I don't want to spend all hour on it again. We've got a guest to get to. I also want to briefly touch on the Seattle Seahawks story concerning Colin Kaepernick, because after becoming the talk of football on Thursday, I saw this everywhere. The Seattle Seahawks becoming the talk of football on Thursday for the quarterback they didn't sign in Colin Kaepernick. Again, the Seahawks did add a QB. They passed on Cap after, from what I'm reading and what has been reported, after Cap wouldn't promise to not kneel for the national anthem, the Seahawks have now signed Stephen Morris, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter and others. So, yet again, for days and weeks, we will be debating why in the world is Colin Kaepernick not in the National Football League? And I'll be brief with this. When it comes to Cap, should he have a job in the NFL? Without a doubt. It's a shame that Colin Kaepernick is not playing in the NFL today. And why isn't he playing? Well, Colin Kaepernick is bad for business. And this is what this comes down to. NFL owners out there, NFL execs out there, look at the Colin Kaepernick kneeling situation and say, well, there's a lot of my fan base that does not agree with Cap using his platform as a professional football player, using his platform during the national anthem to protest racial inequality by kneeling during what many people perceive to be a coveted song in American history. I have no problem with it. You all know that. Those longtime listeners of Current Sports, you know that. I love this. This is the definition of nonviolent protest. I have no problem whatsoever with what Colin Kaepernick is doing right now. However, I'm not surprised why he doesn't have a job, because from a business standpoint, again, putting myself in the mindset, trying to put myself in the mindset of an NFL exec or GM, that exec and GM is saying, well, this may turn off my fan base. This may really upset my fan base. This may divide my fan base, maybe even affect my ticket sales. Do I really want to bite this bullet for a backup quarterback? Because also, let's keep it all the way 100, as I like to say, Colin Kaepernick is not a starting quarterback in the NFL. He just isn't. Last two seasons in the NFL, he ranked in the bottom barrel of quarterbacks when it comes to completion percentage.
just kind of teetered off. If this was a big-time name, let's just say, take another black quarterback. If this was Donovan McNabb back in the day, if Donovan McNabb wanted to kneel during the national anthem, when he was at the peak of his game, when he was the creme de la creme of quarterbacks, in the top five conversation of quarterbacks at the time, his talent outweighed his distraction. So, I'm not surprised that Colin Kaepernick does not have a job right now. But this is what comes. This is the kind of unfair backlash that comes when you are trying to stand up for a worthy cause and bring attention to racial injustice and inequality in the United States of America. You have to understand that this is the kind of negative backlash that is going to happen. This is the kind of life you chose. Fair or unfair, and we all know where it lies. It's totally unfair. And when it comes to these NFL GMs and coaches and execs, the question that lies for those individuals as to why they have not signed Colin Kaepernick in the National Football League is simple. What side of the fence does your moral compass read? And I think we all know which side we're seeing right now. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll lighten the mood here on Current Sports by inviting one of my dear friends in the industry. She is absolutely ripping it up right now. Her name is Megan Thomas, a.k.a. Meg Scoop. You know her from the All Deaf Digital platform. She's tearing it up right now. We'll take a break from sports talk to chat with Megan Thomas. You don't want to miss that chat and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Ian, you're killing it, dude, with the buttons, man. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I'm curious, what are you listening to nowadays?
So mostly for the show, I just take from, like, there's these live channels that just constantly update their playlists.
Well, of course, but if there are artists, or, you know, if I'm riding with you in your whip, what are you listening to? Because I tell you what, there's some interesting music out right now, dude. I was chatting with Isaac Constance, because we chat music all the time. You know, Isaac is a big hip-hop head. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Drake gave credit to the New Orleans scene, mm-hmm, with his new track, Nice for What, which features some unbelievable women in the world of entertainment and beyond, right? And mm-hmm. Cardi B, I'm very shocked. Have you heard Cardi B's album?
I still have been waiting till I can just sit down and listen to that all the way through in one sitting.
Invasion of privacy, man. I'm a gym buff. I'm a gym rat now, and that's why I can really just sit down and listen to a lot of my music. And earlier this week, I said, "All right, let me give this a shot. It's really good." I can't even front, man. Cardi really impressed me. Really impressed me. I don't know if she writes her own stuff, but if she does, that would even take my admiration for her to another level right now. Because it's rumored out there that she doesn't write her own stuff. There's a big debate going back and forth about it. But check it out. I'm curious to get your thoughts. Listen to it.
I will definitely have to. I want to let you know I put that Majid Jordan album on the other day.
Right, right.
And I've been bumping that for the past few days.
Great album, right?
Mm-hmm.
Drake knows his music, and he looks out for his fellow artists from Canada. And Majid Jordan is a great group. All right. Stop wasting time now. Let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. I'm so excited to have her on. And, you know, every once in a while, I like taking a break from the X's and O's and talking about the stats and the wins and the losses. And to have a guest on that is refreshing to just get away from sports just for a minute. And, you know, I had the opportunity to meet this phenomenal woman when I was chosen to be a part of a workshop last year with NBC Universal. And it was a 3-day workshop with Marquis Costello, who is a renowned talent coach in the world of media, and Megan Thomas happened to be a part of this workshop. An amazing field of people. I was just blessed to be in the room with these other individuals. You know, people like Amanda Booz from BET was there, Brandon Brody of Nickelodeon. I mean, I could go on and on and on. And Meg Thomas was one of those individuals. You may know her, better known as Meg Scoop. She's an actress and television host, recognized for moderating discussions on popular programs like The Real Housewives of Atlanta After Show. Many may recognize her now as a host and producer for the insanely popular, insanely hilarious YouTube entertainment news channel, All Deaf Digital. And if I'm correct here, it was recently announced that All Deaf Digital is actually up for a Webby for Best Entertainment Channel. If you don't know what a Webby is, the Webby Awards are kind of like the Oscars of online content. So very cool stuff. It is my pleasure to welcome Meg Scoop to WKAR's Current Sports. Meg, what's up? How you doing?
I'm good. That is such a glowing introduction. I'm over here like, man, I sound amazing.
Well, Meg, you've done a lot. You should embrace that introduction.
I don't even feel like that stuff is true.
Stop it. And am I correct now? You guys just got nominated for a Webby, right?
Yes, Best Entertainment Channel. So vote for us, please. Vote for All Deaf Digital.
For sure. And we'll let our listeners know how they can do so. I'm curious, what's the competition look like for you guys? Who are you guys going up against?
I mean, it's crazy. We've got actually some CBS shows. I think there's an NBC show. There's some other shows that are actually, you know, I thought they were more popular than us. But The way people are voting, it shows that they love our content. So far, we're doing good, but we need more help. So vote. You have until the 19th.
Okay, well, that's coming up very quick. I'll make sure as soon as I get off the air today, I'm cracking open my laptop and voting for you guys because I absolutely love the channel, Meg. You're ripping it up. First, I want to start. You know, this is your first time here on Current Sports. Meg, can you tell us about your journey in the world of media and entertainment industry and how you ended up at All Deaf Digital? Just kind of tell your story for us.
I mean, I'll be very honest with you. It's a long story, so I don't know if we're going to have that much time. But I will say this. It's a story that's based upon just don't stop. I started off as a financial consultant, and I was good at numbers, but I just didn't like it. So then I went to just like a night school and then got a TV and radio broadcasting certification. Went from there to like hip-hop radio to old-school radio. Then from there, made the transition onto the screen after being a producer for radio. And so now I've done after show recaps for AfterBuzz TV. I've hosted a show on Black Hollywood Live that's just about upcoming talent. Now, you know, I get to flex my comedy skills on All Deaf Digital and, you know, hosting shows, being in content, just flexing my funny. And it's been a tough process. You know, a lot of people will see where I'm at now. But this process has taken over 10 years to get to. And the truth be told, I probably only started getting paid for this and making a living from it in the last 3 years.
Amazing. Wow.
So, yeah. So don't stop. Don't ever give up. Because trust me, like the people that you see that are the most successful are only successful because they didn't stop.
That's what it's all about, Meg. It's about the journey. And you know what? You've done so much. And I didn't realize how much you had done until I was doing my homework last night. And I'm sitting there, and I actually looked up. I came across your IMDb page, and I'm looking at all this stuff, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, you were actually in Scandal. You were in The Real Husbands of Hollywood. And I'm like, hold on. She was in The Real Husbands of Hollywood? So I went on my Netflix, and I looked up the actual episode called Frauditions that you were on. And I'm scanning through, and I'm like, hold on. Meg has to be here somewhere. And then, bang, I spotted you. Kevin Hart. He's rolling through. There's a lot of young women who are trying to audition for something. Then all of a sudden I see you and you walk past him and he turns. I'm like, oh, my goodness, there's Meg right there. You've done so much, Meg. Absolutely amazing. So how did you get involved with acting as well?
Well, I started off, you know, before I really knew what hosting was about, I started off in general acting classes just to kind of get my feet wet. And I really feel like acting brings something out of you that, you know, before I started doing it, I thought it was something very easy. I'm like, how hard is it to act like somebody else? Come on, guys. That's so easy. But the truth is, it's not what you would think it is. And it's actually the hardest, one of the hardest things I've ever done. And mind you, I've been a financial consultant. So this is, acting is way harder than that, because it requires you to be in tune with who you really are and to conjure up feelings that you may not have once felt. So, you know, stuff that happened to you that's bad, that causes you to cry, you may have to remember those things in order to cry on screen. And a lot of people don't like that because it puts you in a funky mood. But acting is definitely very hard. I what I realized, though, is I'm a much better on-air personality than I am an actor, just because, you know, an actor, you have to be somebody else. And I've learned that I'm much better at being myself. And
right.
Some people have it, you know, some people are opposite with that. But yeah, for me, I think hosting is probably where I should live.
Well, I tell you what, you're not bad at either. I tell you that. You are ridiculously talented. And what I want to dive
Thank
into
you.
Now is All Def Digital, because the comedic team that you all have at All Def Digital is remarkable. You guys have me in tears all the time. I mean, we were talking about To Hear More, Kev on stage, who I love, Tony Baker, yourself. And, you know, I didn't even know when I met you that you dabbled in comedy. What went into assembling that team at All Def Digital?
You know, I'll say probably years of us just being, you know, ourselves and doing our own thing, trying to be funny. I think after going through different shows with each other, we've kind of found our groove. But most of the people that you see on All Def Digital are stand-up comedians. So they are practicing this on a nightly basis, pretty much. If not nightly, then weekly.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually done stand-up a few times. So I think it helps you get to the wit. It helps you to think on your feet. And those people just tend to be, you know, naturally funnier. But I'm so blessed because All Def Digital has really given us the platform just to be ourselves. And, you know, by the grace of God, it's funny, you know. We just get to be ourselves all day. And it's turned into something really amazing and really funny. And it's just a lot of fun. I'll say this is probably the most fun I've ever had at a job in my entire life.
Well,
I have worked everywhere, okay? I have
right.
Protein bars. I have fat people at restaurants. Like, this is literally the funnest job I've ever had.
Well, I tell you what, Meg, you can definitely see when watching these videos from All Def Digital that you guys are having fun while doing quote-unquote work, right? And you know what? I want
right.
to play a quick bite. This one comes from one of your latest videos in which you guys always compare different things and try to vouch for your certain product, right? And
right.
One of the latest videos I've seen is when you guys are comparing pop. We call it pop here in Michigan. Is it soda
uh-huh.
on the West Coast? You guys call it soda on the West Coast, I think, right?
Well, yeah, everybody says different stuff. And I'm from Kentucky. They say pop there, too. They'll say soda
right.
or pop.
Exactly. So you guys are comparing pop, you know, like Crush. Sprite happens to be your product. Am I right?
Yes.
And you're trying to vouch as to why Sprite is the best pop. Okay, so, Ian, let's play this quick snippet that we have queued up.
Representing the best soda in the game, and it's Sprite.
You said basic wrong. It's basic. It's the most basic.
No, it's the best one. It's lemon lime soda, and it goes literally.
It don't taste like
everything.
Lemon lime at all.
None of these sodas taste like what they say.
First
they
of all,
like.
Cream soda tastes like cream.
This is the fine cousin of
what
root
exactly
beer.
Is the flavor?
Hey man, it's cream, it's sugar, it's eggs, it's egg white.
Nobody want to drink eggs. We don't want to drink that.
There's really eggs in here?
Is it really?
Yeah, well, used to be.
The choice between root beer and cream soda, what would you take?
I'm going cream soda.
I'll go root beer.
I don't see a lot.
Your face
soda.
Looks like cream soda when you open
your
it.
Your face
looks
like cream soda when
you
move it up. That's stupid.
That doesn't make it not funny.
That was stupid.
That's what they call to hear in prison. A cream soda. Come on,
now that was funny.
Let me get a sip.
Take note. Let me get a sip.
No.
You do look like cream soda a little bit.
Yeah.
You're frothy.
That had to be my favorite part of that snippet. You're frothy. I mean, you guys are hilarious, Meg. I have to ask, though, because, you know, you look at this team that you guys have. You are the only on-air female out of that comedic group. Do you feel any pressure trying to rep for the ladies amongst the fellas?
Oh, my gosh, every day. Like, it's really tough because these guys are just naturally funny. And I didn't start off being a stand-up comedian like all of them. You know, I just happen to have a funny bone, so it's very intimidating, even to this day, that I'm around people who are so naturally funny, and me being the only female, I do feel the pressure to represent for the ladies, and, you know, and it also makes me proud because I am there representing for the ladies. We have a voice. Mm-hmm. We are funny too. We can make jokes, and you know, it makes me happy to know that I'm in an environment that does embrace that. You know, they never try to temper me or make me be quiet or anything like that. They're like, no, you go with it. Say whatever you have to say. And I really like that about this group.
Definitely. All right, I have to put you on the spot here. Besides yourself, who's the funniest out the group?
Oh, gosh. I wouldn't even say myself, to be honest with you. I think, it. You know what? It's so, everybody, I can't even pick one person because they're all funny in different ways. You know, right. Like Tony Baker is just like the best at like deadpan comedy. Like the stuff that he'll say is just out the blue. It's hilarious. Kev on stage has some, you know, some great analogies. It's just to hear, like, everybody's just great. I really can't pick any one person. They all bring a different type of comedy genius to the group.
It's definitely tough to choose. And you know what? I think one of my favorite segments happened to be dad jokes. I absolutely love dad jokes. Also, dance break. Dance break is a new one that you guys kind of just premiered, right, Meg?
Yes, it is. It is. It was just kind of the same format that we've done a lot of the shows in, which is like try to make somebody laugh. And you know how funny that when you see somebody that can't dance.
Oh, it's hilarious.
I see it
all the time here, Meg, in East Lansing. Oh, my goodness. It's bad.
You
just want to whip out your phone and Snapchat. So when sitting down for those segments like dad jokes and dance break, what is that brainstorming process like for you guys?
I will say, you know what, I give a lot of credit to Patrick Cloud because he is the brainchild for a lot of different shows that we have. Very great. Creatively, as well as, you know, to hear more who created Bad News, and then Kev on stage actually leads the team creatively. So I think for them, it's just a lot of meetings are tough to get through only because they're just cracking jokes and roasting each other. but out of a lot of that comes some of the best shows that we've ever done, just us, you know, cracking on each other. So, but I will say, for me, I'm way more organized than the guy, so it gets on my nerves a lot of times when I yell at them. I'm like, okay, let's stay on task. I'm talking about my shoulders and how broad they are. Let's get on task, guys.
Right, so you got to keep them on task. Stop talking about me. Let's get to it, right?
Yes.
Oh, man. All right, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Megan Thomas of All Deaf Digital, better known as Meg Scoop, the multi-platform social media company leveraging the cultural power of hip-hop, comedy, and social justice. Due to time, Meg, I got two more questions for you. The first one, Meg Scoop, where did that name come from?
So it actually came from because I used to do entertainment news for my friend's radio show, late night radio show. I didn't have a name. I was like, I don't want to say, hey, this is entertainment news from Megan Thomas. Like, it's just, I was like, I need a name. But he goes, you know what? You always have the Scoop. Why don't you just go by Meg Scoop? And I was like, you know what? That works. And it just kind of stuck. And that was maybe like, that was about 10 years ago.
I love that. I mean, it has a ring to it for sure. And also, Meg, I mean, you're doing so many things. You're crushing it at All Deaf Digital. What's next for you? What other projects do you have in store or in goals do you have in store down the line? I know that the main focus right now All Deaf Digital?
Yes. My main focus is All Deaf Digital, but I do a lot of stuff on my own time. So like a lot of things that people don't know about me is that I spend a lot of time just, you know, doing spiritual stuff. So I actually have some stuff coming up that's like on the spiritual tip. So you'll be on the lookout for that. I'm also dabbling a little bit into sports and music.
What? Sports? Oh, we got to get you back now. We got to get you back. That's just my territory. We got to get you back, Meg.
All right, so I'm doing a little bit with that. I mean, there's a lot of stuff coming up, but stay tuned. Mainly stay tuned to All Deaf Digital because the stuff that we have coming up next is honestly like, I'm so excited and happy about it. So, yeah, definitely watch that.
All right. And you know, Meg, I'm seeing that we do have one question from our listeners that I do think is important to get to because I think a lot of people want to know the answer to. I know that All Deaf Digital is the brainchild of course, Russell Simmons, who is the co-founder of the hip-hop music label Def Jam, a very successful entrepreneur. I know that he has since stepped down due to the sexual assault allegations. Now, as a woman, Meg, who works for the company, what kind of emotions have gone through your head during this time?
Well, I'll say this. He's not affiliated with the company.
Okay.
So that's a little bit different. I'll just say, in general, I'm glad the hashtag Me Too movement is happening as a woman.
Love it. Very well said. Meg, how can we follow you? How can our listeners follow your work? And how can they vote for you guys with the Webby Awards?
Well, you can follow me at Meg Scoop on all of your social media channels, but you can also go vote for All Dev Digital for the best entertainment channel on the Webbies. And you can go on their website. You can go to any of their social media channels. There's a link there. Just look for the Webby Awards.
She's amazing. Meg, thank you so much for your time. We'll talk soon.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this week in WKAR's current sports with Reflection Friday. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We have about 5 minutes left in the hour, and right now we have live in studio with this great man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Scott Pohl. Scott was actually, as I've been mentioning since the top of the hour, Scott Pohl actually covered today's Board of Trustees meeting. So before I have Scott share a really cool story for Reflection Friday pertaining to the GOAT, the greatest of all time, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, Scott, just a quick update concerning the Board of Trustees meeting, what took place, if you can kind of sum it up as best as you can.
Well, one real quick thing that isn't going to get any coverage at all is that the Board of Trustees approved a room and board hike of a little less than 3% today. And that'll impact the wallets of a lot of students out there, but it won't get a lot of coverage because of everything else that was going on, as you might imagine. And I don't mean to be critical about that. Lots of members of Reclaim MSU, the students, faculty, and parents, other supporters who want MSU to do more about protecting survivors of sexual assault were on hand. Frequently during the meeting, they were holding up photos of survivors on their phones because the police didn't permit signs to be brought to the meeting today.
Okay.
And so there was a lot of that, and especially when they got into the public comment section of the meeting, there was almost exactly an hour of speakers all critical of President Engler and the board, calling on them to resign, shouting when the three-minute timer would go off and President Engler would gavel people down and say their time was up. People would shout him down, let her speak, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of that kind of activity at today's meeting. I'll have a story later today on All Things Considered, and Shana Roth from the Michigan Public Radio Network was there, too. We'll have her stories later today, too.
Okay, thank you for that. All yep. right, Scott, let's close out the show now because, you know, Scott, you know, as we frequently do here after Current Sports airs, you know, you'll come in and we will have a cool conversation about anything, really.
Yeah.
A lot of sports conversation, as you can imagine. And you told me a story concerning Michael Jordan that I said you got to come back on Friday and tell for Reflection Friday. Can you please share that to close out the week here on Current Sports?
I can. I even did a little research since that conversation the other day.
Okay. Al.
On October 20th of 1991.
Wow. The exact day.
Yep. The Bulls played a preseason game at the Breslin Center against the Nets. And it was one of those routine, not terribly interesting preseason games till it went into double overtime.
Right.
So the Bulls beat the Nets 125 to 120 at the Breslin Center.
Double overtime.
Yeah,
wow.
In the preseason. So at the time, my then quite young son, he would have been about seven at the time, was a Michael Jordan fan, and he had drawn a comic book, which consisted of four pages. And in the succeeding pages, the story was Michael Jordan at the free throw line. The score is nothing to nothing. He shoots the free throw. It goes through the basket. The scoreboard changes to one to nothing, or whatever the score became. Bulls win.
That's
so
great.
You know, artwork by a seven-year-old, you know.
Right.
So I was doing PA for the Spartan basketball program at the time, so I did the PA for that game. And I found a way to get into the locker room, hoping to get Michael Jordan to autograph that for my son. And, of course, there were a lot of reporters around Michael Jordan when I first got into the locker room, so I went around to a few other players and got them to sign it. I specifically remember B.J. Armstrong.
Right.
Signed it, and I think Scottie Pippen also signed it. But before I left the locker room, the crowd around Michael Jordan cleared a little bit, and I showed it to him, and he looked through the four pages
right.
and laughed. It was a little booklet size.
So he
thing.
Chuckled a bit after watching it.
He chuckled a little
it.
Bit and turned it over and signed the back of it for my son.
Unbelievably cool. That is one of the goals on my bucket list. You know, I'm a big MJ fan. And it's to meet Mike, because I think he's one of the greatest athletes of all time. I think he's the greatest basketball player of all time. But the cultural phenomenon that was MJ back in the 90s is something that we may never see again. And you got a chance to meet him and have him sign
yep.
your son's 7-year-old children's book. That's so cool.
Well,
you need to
draw Michael a comic book and take it to him.
I should. I'll show him my artwork and be like, hey, MJ, can you sign this for me? And that's a great story, Scott. Thank you so much for sharing
Big
that.
Big fun. Glad to do it.
All right. Well, we have just a minute left. We are out of time. Ian Hawley, just briefly, man, favorite moment of the week here on WKAR Current Sports, what would it be?
It had to be the rookie out of the G League who
yes.
opened up for Los Angeles this week and ended up scoring 19 points, I believe.
Amazing.
That's just a feel-good story coming out of Los Angeles when you don't have many from the Lakers these days.
32-year-old rookie, right? That's one of my favorite stories as well. I can't choose just one, but it's been a fun week. Much thanks to Meg Scoop, Megan Thomas, for joining me on today's Current Sports. Ian Hawley, great job behind the glass. John Simon, thank you for your work as well, my man. We'll be back at it same time, same place on Monday. You have been listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Be easy, people.